It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Sitting on the dock of the bay, I'm Schmitty, and this is Talkin' Schmidt. Today on the show is veteran skateboarder Alex White. Alex has been skating for many years. She grew up with Peter Gunn and Zeroche and was featured in the all-ladies skate video Getting Nowhere Faster. She had a wall named after her. She's tickled waves, skated with the best of them, and recently got a Skate Witch tattoo. She's done her share of commentating and recently became the first female brand manager at NHS and team manager of Crux Trucks. With all that being said, maybe her biggest claim to fame is being labeled as the meme queen of our generation.
It's a daily ritual of meme collecting, like hunter-gatherer, and then some meme creations. I think that when Instagram came around, whatever it was, like so many years ago, I kind of just thought, I don't think anybody really wants to see anything about my life. I think it'd be just better to just bring people laughs, like every day, like just try to make like 10 or 15, like how great is that if you can just like be laughing at stupid shit?
Before we start the show, I'd like to give some special shout outs. And I'd like to start with the legendary Patty McGee.
Shout
who
out.
Who paved the way for females in skateboarding and was featured on the cover of Life magazine in 1965. Shout out to Kara Beth Burnside.
Shout out.
First woman to ever be on the cover of Thrasher magazine in 1989. She also had the first female signature skate shoe. Shout out to Alyssa Steamer.
Shout out.
Good friend of the show. Simply for just being Alyssa. Tickling waves, having them tickle her back. Knowing where Roxy is. I think we all know how important Alyssa is to skateboarding. And the fact that she is a girl no doubt has helped inspire young girls everywhere. That toy machine video part, winning the X Games, being the first female character in the Tony Hawk video game series. Come on. Shout out to Lindsay Adams Hawkins.
Shout out.
First female 540. First girl to do the loop. You already know. That's the friend of the show, Miss Lizzie Armano.
Shout out.
First female to come on to my podcast goes to the homie, Jessica Krause.
Shout out.
Also, big props to the skate park at Tampa for holding its first ever women's division this past weekend at the annual Tampa Pro, in which Haina Maeda became the first female to ever win Tampa.
Shout out.
Jen O'Brien, Jody McDonald, Letitia Buffoni, Leo Baker, Vanessa Torres, Amy Caron, Jesse Van Rockout, Alicia Lee, Nicole House, Jules Lynn, Nora Vasconcelos. The list goes on. All you are to be saluted always and forever, but I'd like to make a special shout out this month being Women's History Month.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out. Shout out.
Big love and lots of respect. So with that being said, I would now like to pass the mic to this week's guest.
This is Alex White, and you're listening to Talkin' Schmidt.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Here we go again.
Just give it the old cause turn, isn't it?
All big dogs in.
Schmitty.
96 times, Schmitty.
Thanks, Schmitty.
We on? Schmitty.
Talking Schmidt.
That's called going to the hospital, bitch.
I'd be shit in my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
I don't give a fuck about your fucking multi-million-dollar numbers.
Who is this guy? He thinks he's tough shit.
What's up?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yeah!
Okay, well, we are going to start this off like this. I have been talking to you for a little while about coming onto the show.
Who is it?
And you're here. It's been a couple months of going back and forth, and finally our paths crossed, and we have Alex White.
Hi.
Thanks for stopping by. San Francisco it is today for you, huh?
Yeah, we've had a great day. We've just been skating the city and hanging out and making the rounds and finishing the day at Thrasher.
Nice. Where I heard you guys went to where, China Banks this morning?
Yeah, I'd never skated China Banks before, and we went over the bench, the small bench, and had a nice hour there, like first thing in the morning, and then we did like Third and Army or in that other spot, Fourth and Army or something, the little Third and Cargo ledge spot. And
who is the crew?
Me, Ashley Rayfeld, and then Dayana Young, AKA Tweaker Mom.
We just know her as Tweaker Mom.
It's the best handle.
Are you guys working on something or just having a fun day up here, or what was the purpose?
I think that we've all been working a lot in skateboarding, but not doing enough skateboarding. So we went out today just to go skate and have fun and collect. We call it like getting clips, like souvenirs. So we collected some souvenirs today, and that was fun. And yeah, we loved it. It was so good.
Excellent. Let's get some background info. You were born and raised in California?
Yeah, I'm actually from Los Angeles originally. I grew up in the Valley and went to private schools in West LA. And my first skate buddy was Jonah Hill. So I'm gonna drop some names. So okay. There, get your catcher's
shout
mitt
out
on.
To Jonah Hill.
Yeah, he was like actually one of my first skate friends, and back then his name is really Jonah Feldstein.
Shout out.
Yeah, but he goes, his stage name is Jonah Hill. So Jonah Feldstein and I used to go to Hot Rod Skate Shop a lot, and like just be mesmerized and look at all the boards on the wall and like the videos and skate around, and yeah.
Did you get a call when mid-90s was being put together?
No, I didn't. I went and saw it, and I enjoyed it. I think there's parts of it that were a little bit cringy, but as with every time skateboarding is in a mainstream movie, you kind of cringe. But yeah. Overall, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I think he captured what, like, a lot of our childhood was like, you know, in a movie setting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, people complain about this and that, but it is a movie and they're trying to dramatize
exactly.
it and make it fun and interesting. Do you remember the glorious moment where you discovered skateboarding, where you went and got your first board, or what drew you to it?
Yeah, I have like okay, so I went into Rip City Skates. My dad bought me a board from Rip City, and they set up like a Dogtown board, and then I saw the graphic and I like hated it, so I went back to Rip City and exchanged it for a Willie Santos Birdhouse board. But that wasn't really my first board. My first board was a clone Alien Workshop board with indies and like 36 millimeter Alien Workshop wheels. But
like a team board?
Yeah, just like it had
like
a little.
A complete?
Yeah, it had like a little mouse on it with like a hypodermic needle in its back, and it said Alien Workshop clone, and I thought that was sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's a couple first boards, but.
And what? How old were you in that around then?
I was like 12.
12?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was that before? Which Alien video, were there Alien videos out yet or no?
I think the first video I saw was Rolling Thunder, so it was like 1996 97.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never remembered seeing any like the Alien Workshop videos from the late 90s.
That's how I discovered Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah. You and every other skateboarder. I yeah. think every song's been used.
Rad. Okay, so explain to the listeners and me, what is Villa Villa Cola?
Well, Villa Villa Cola.
Or is it Via Via Cola?
No, you're right. We call it Villa Villa Cola, or the VVC crew was started by Tiffany Nicole, Lori D, Van Nguyen, Faye Jamie, and Lisa Whitaker. And there's probably some names I'm missing out, so I'm sorry. But it was a zine, and it was just a girl skate zine with like a kind of like whimsical kind of imagination. I think it's based from like Pippi Longstockings. Like the Villa Villa Cola might have been like this treehouse fort in that old story, but I've never read the old story. But anyway, VVC was a zine, and Thrasher picked up in their zines page in the late 90s, like they got a copy of it and then they posted it, and they're like, oh, and by the way, Villa Villa Cola, like here's like the mailing address to get a copy of it. And they're also working on a video called Striking Fear into the Heart of Teenage Girls. And so I immediately like got that in the Thrasher, and then like wrote to like desperately to the VVC crew. I'm like, oh my God, there's a girls crew out there. And then they sent me a video, and then I think I sent them $10 cash, and I got all the zines and I got the video. And it was like my first introduction into like that whole world. And it was probably like 1998 or 99. And yeah, I watched the video until I burned out the VHS and still have the zines. So
were you still in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I think I was still in Los Angeles in the late 90s, and then I moved up to Monterey like for high school, because I was getting into lots of trouble in Los Angeles as a kid.
Yeah.
So I moved in with my mom, and my first skate friends in Monterey were Zarosh Eggleston and Peter Gunn.
Oh.
And so I like a whole new crew, and they were really
rad. Actually, Zarosh and Barkhead.
So super creative and weird.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Peter Gunn is from that. He grew up in that area.
Yeah, he's like 2 blocks away from me. His mom's house is still there.
Okay. You got some good early stories about Peter Gunn.
Oh, yeah.
Early days.
Yeah, he had like a 1959. His dad had like a 1959 Chevrolet. Oh, it was one of those like, it was a beautiful old car. I'm not going to be able to say what kind it was. And we wanted to drive it really bad because we wanted to go skate in it. So he basically like stole his dad's classic car and then like dropped it in gear. And then like we had to push it in. We destroyed the clutch. We like pushed it in gear like all the way home after it died. And he got in a lot of trouble. And I mean, Peter was a beast. He was like such a good skateboarder. And he was like the kind of guy, if you accidentally like ran into him at the skate park, you were getting flattened because he was like so bony and strong.
Mm.
He's like such a rad dude, and he was a little punk, but he had these like really loving hippie granola parents that were like always super supportive. And he was like, our joke with Peter used to be like, God, fucking loving parents. Trying to be punk rock here.
Oh man, did you see his glorious haul of meat?
Yeah, the one off the
at
snow
Wendell's. Oh my, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was nuts. I guess it like put him out for a while.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
My friend Alex Horn, we went there and he did the backflip on a bike off
Sick.
That thing. I couldn't believe it. Into that big air mattress, obviously. But like, we were just like, what the fuck? Yeah, that place is so fun. What was I getting at? Oh, yeah. Getting Nowhere Fast.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the video, right? That
Yeah. So there was Striking Fear into the Heart of Teenage Girls was this like 2000 video, like the year 2000. That was the one that introduced me into the VVC crew.
Okay.
And then after high school, I moved back to L.A., went to college, and then really started filming with Lisa Whitaker, Vanessa Torres, and Amy Carone, and Van Nguyen, too. And we were just filming, like, we would just hook up, we'd like look in Thomas Guides and have spots and, like, just drive around all of Southern California and just, like, it was like I finally, like, had my, like, skate crew of girls and I was, like, so pumped. And we were just already filming. And I think that, I'm not sure who from Element, so I know that Josh Freeberg saw what we were working on through working with Lisa, and basically Element came on board and they're like, hey, do you guys want to do another girls video? And that's where Getting Nowhere Faster happened. So Getting Nowhere Faster was 2004 and we started working on it I think in like 2003, and yeah, had some money behind it, and it was like the first ever all female street skate video.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, I know you've probably talked yourself blue on this one, but let's talk about that opening scene with the security guard.
That one's funny. So I was
How old were you at
15?
That time? 15. It's yeah. So funny. I watched it a few times this week just, you know, in preparation for this interview. But I love like, no. Okay, yeah, it was one. Okay, it was twice.
Are they following you?
Whoa, get off me!
What? Base, that's so.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm detaining you.
Why?
Base! Start Monterey PD is gonna be on a WXJ.
I was just leaving.
Trespassing. We'll take them at Oliver and Scott. One detained.
She didn't even do it.
Oh, not this time, she didn't. What's your name?
Alex.
How many times have we gone around on this?
One time before.
One time? I don't think so.
Yeah, it was one time before this.
No, it wasn't one time before this. What about with the crutches at the front of the hotel?
Oh, yeah. Two times. Sorry.
Two
about
times,
that.
Yeah. What happened last time we went around?
I ran from you.
You went rabbit, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
So how much slack do you think I'm giving you now?
Not much.
That's a fact. Now, am I going to handcuff you, or are you going to have a seat?
I'll have a seat, sir.
Well, that's good. Get up.
Basically, in this video, we were filming at this spot with like these two long three stairs, and I was skating, and we would always go to the spot and fuck with the security guard because his name to all of us was Captain America, and he like loved to chase us. But this time, I wasn't trying to mess with him, like because we Jackass and CKY came out, and we were like all into like messing with security
okay.
guards. So I definitely messed with that guy a lot. I deserved it. So we were just filming that time, and then he chased me down and tackles me, and just like everybody thinks it's like scripted, but that's really what the security guard was saying. You know, he's just like on my back telling me. And I think that people get surprised by that video because the video is like 20 years old.
Yeah.
And like you remember from filming, like 20 years ago, people didn't really understand when a camera was on them, like what it meant. Like now everybody's got their phone out and they're filming you and they're screaming world star at you while something happens. But like back then it was like kind of weird to have a camera. Like he didn't really, I don't know, he acted differently. So
yeah, well, there wasn't social media either.
Yeah.
The interesting part to me was that like, was there so few skaters? Because a lot of times security guards will say, you were here last week. And you're like, no, that wasn't me. That was some other skater. But clearly it was you he was talking about. Like he knew, whoa, my bad. He knew you from the past, yeah?
Yeah, he did. I think because I probably was the only female skater that was around there at the time, that he definitely picked me out. I mean, I don't think there's too many like short little blonde girls with cargo pants on like coming around and skating the three stair all the time. So yeah, you definitely got me.
And then true or false, the drop name was named after you?
Oh, the White Wall, Alex White Wall. The kids just started calling it the Alex White Wall because my last name went into White Wall. So.
And when that video came out, did you guys like have like a premiere or a party or anything like that special? That was a special moment. It was like the first ever girls thing. Did you guys do something to celebrate it?
Yeah, we had a little like screening tour up and down the West Coast, kind of like in everybody's hometown, like Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, LA. So I think we had 4 or 5 stops. I think I only went to one of them.
Were they in theaters? Or?
Yeah, we actually had theaters and nice. Like 2005, and we had a pretty good screening, like all of our friends came out. It was cool. And then to DVD, and this is back when people bought DVDs, so I guess it sold pretty well. I think Giant was the one that distributed it, but yeah, it did pretty good getting nowhere faster.
Out of the whole thing, excluding yourself, whose part do we need to, if someone's gonna look for it, what's the part?
Oh man, it's the toss-up between Amy Carone and Vanessa Torres. Amy Carone starts the video and Vanessa Torres closes it out. I think Amy's filming and like everything was like so on point for the time, and like Vanessa, like the torn, struggling, like addicted genius in the end who's just like throwing it together, but natural talent like brought her through it. But like Amy was like hard work and Vanessa was like just, I'm just so naturally good at skateboarding, it doesn't matter, I hurt, you know. Yeah. So there's some like pretty good like groundbreaking stuff between the two of them, and especially for the time. Like I say now, like Vanessa and Amy are as good as like 80% of the field that's still like in it for women skateboarding now, and that was like 20 years ago, you know. It's like I think that they're just like their level and their ability on a board and their handrail game and their like ledge game and their flat ground game, like they would have held their own like today, but it was, you know, 19 years ago.
I always say that to Jessica Krause too.
Oh yeah,
because I was working for Think and I got to meet her and film with her, and she was charging like,
yeah.
Probably same, a little after them maybe, but like around that time. And it was like, man, she went off onto her own trip. But it's like, fuck. Yeah, I remember all those girls ripping.
Yeah, shout out to Jessica. I saw her last week at Santa Cruz Park and I skated with her.
Shout out.
Oh, at the new Aptos one?
No, the Mike Fox one. But
oh, okay.
She was like skating down. She was skating the hubbas and the rail. And I'm like, how are you still doing this? And she's just like, I don't know. My body, like she's just like, she doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck epilepsy. Did you start to get some notoriety from that video? Did you get like some sponsor or anybody offering you anything like that?
I didn't get any. I think that video just kind of became like a, because it was a YouTube video. It has like 5 million views. I think it mostly became kind of like this, what the fuck? Like, I can't believe a security guard is treating a girl like this. Like that was mostly the reaction. I think like, Most Whacked Out Sports and like MTV Scarred both contacted me about like doing something. I don't think I ever did, but
so it went viral before there was going viral.
Yeah, it went viral really early on, and like it's just been one in those playlists where it's like skater versus security guard playlist. There's like 6 videos, okay. And there's like my video in there too. But yeah, I don't think it led to any sponsor. I think that people, it's been funny this last like year, as I get like work more and more in the industry, like people are making the connection that I am that little girl in that video from 20 years ago. Oh. And they're like, oh, like that was you. And like, where did you come? Like if they're trying to figure out where I came from.
And then you kind of dabbled in real estate.
Yeah, I didn't even dabble. I mean, during the recession. So I got out of college and I did this great video and I was filming a lot. Like I filmed a lot of the Vila Vila Cola video too. Like you like loved filming and editing. Started to work for X Games and Monster Energy Drink Company, like doing web content and stuff. And like, but then the entire economy crashed, and then I was laid off, and I moved back into my mom's garage and back to Monterey and started waiting tables, and I started property managing, and I started selling houses. And so like from 2008 to 2018, that's basically my hustle, was just like real estate. And I had, my two sons were born and 2011 and 2014, so I kind of just like went back and still skated for fun, but I was just mostly like selling houses to make a living and managing properties and doing whatever I could.
how was that? It was a whole different world.
Yeah, it is. It's like I think I lost myself in those years a lot. I think I was really like happy with being a part of skating in my teens and early 20s. I like knew myself better, but after I had kids and stuff, I started like dressing different. Like I like was trying to dress like an adult, or I was trying to like put on this like version of what I thought I should be as a mom and like a realtor, and like I was just like this kind of like weird version of myself.
Khaki mom pants.
those are just too hot to handle. I mean, I had to stick with the black khaki mom pants. But no, I think, yeah, I was wearing like skirts and stuff. I don't even like skirts. I was wearing, I don't know, just like.
Do you kind of turn into an actress a little bit? Like you're playing this thing that you're like, this isn't me, but I have to do this. It's kind of, I waited tables for a long time and I felt like I kind of had that where I'm like, hey, and I'm going to be this other persona.
That's exactly it. You're kind of just performing your, you know, nobody's, not many people's passion is waiting tables or selling houses or whatever. A lot of real estate is performing and like dealing with people that you like open houses. You just sit and wait for people to walk in and then you ask them key questions to see if they're actually a qualified buyer or not.
Right. Well, people found out you were on coming on and our phone lines have not been working lately, but they are fucking through the roof right now. Let's see who we got on the horn here.
Hi, Schmitty. Talking Schmidt podcast. This is Zarosh Eggleston. And a long-time listener. I listened to all 7 of the first episodes, and then every other one after that. Alex White, when I first met you, you were couldn't ollie. And I was just wondering why a month after that, you were trying a 13-stair handle. What the fuck were you thinking? Like, what's the lot? Like, why did that make sense? And who also told you that was a good idea and wanted to film it? What the fuck? And how many times have we been around on this?
That was Zarosh Eggleston with the phone call.
Zarosh is my best skate buddy of all time. I love you, Zarosh. Thank you for calling in. That man is something else. I don't know. It's maybe because you tried to talk me into it, Zarosh, and you egged me on into filming this shit. You thought it would be funny. And then you're like, I didn't think you'd really do that. But I did. Because I wanted to impress you because you had a really sick ponytail. Zarosh had a long ponytail. It was really rad.
I love Zarosh. His whole family is amazing. We had this really good experience. I don't know when I met you, but I feel like one of the first times was probably around Zarosh. He was either being down there or at the dirt Cachagua or something. But Zarosh was giving us the Carmel tour, the exclusive Zarosh Carmel tour. And we went to, you've probably seen all these spots, but we went to this pipe that goes under the ground and comes out onto the beach.
Yeah.
And apparently, rumor has it that him and some people have buttboarded through it with headlamps on and flew out the other side. And we're like, okay, cool. And he's like, let's just do it. And we're like, let's check out the other side first. And we check out the other side, and it's like a 20-foot drop onto rocks and stuff. And he's like, dude, we do it all the time. And we're like, we're not doing this, and you've never done it. But maybe he has. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he has.
Really?
Yeah, I've done it too.
Really?
Yeah. So
does it change the time?
It's like, I'll send you a picture so you can put it up when the podcast comes up of everybody going through the tunnel.
I would love that.
But you can go slow because you kind of put your feet down and you can see the end coming. It's not like you just get like launched. So you can kind of like, okay, I'm going to like give myself a little butt board out. But yeah, no, we've all done it.
Oh, wow.
Probably all done it on mushrooms. Like,
We're city wimps.
And... Yeah. I didn't want to do it the first time either, but like, I pretty much did whatever Zarosh told me to do, like my childhood and still do.
Have you met his uncle?
Oh, yeah.
His uncle told us to get out of here because we were taking photos of our, like, we're at Zarosh's uncle. We're taking a photo of each other.
Yeah.
But his house is in the background. Mm-hmm. Don't take photos of my house. Get out of here.
That's Forrest Dad. Yeah.
Yeah. Forrest Dad.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. There's a family heritage there. I'll just say that.
Forrest, Dolphin, Strawberry, something.
Forrest, Dolphin Tree. Raspberry Sage, Tom Bombadil, Patton Eggleston.
Wow, I you got one. That one? Zarosh, let us know.
I missed one, I think.
Forest, Raspberry Sage, Dolphin Tree, Tom Bombadil, McPatton Eggleston.
Raspberry Sage is definitely
Raspberry Sage is in his name, so that's that family. You guys should come to the dirtboard race.
Here comes another caller.
Oh, hi, Talking Schmidt. Love the show. Longtime listener. Second or third time caller. So I have a question, Alex. If you tickle a wave, does it tickle back? Thanks, Alyssa, San Francisco.
Wow, woo! Alyssa Steamer. I love you, Alyssa. If you tickle a wave, does it tickle you back?
That's a deep question.
It is, yeah. I don't know. I haven't been tickling waves that much lately. I've been riding concrete, but I do appreciate that. We have to go tickle some waves together, Alyssa.
Yeah. Do you surf? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got really into surfing like 10 or 11 years, kind of the same time that Alyssa did too. We kind of like all kind of like stopped being so about skating and started surfing like in the early 2000s. And
it's very therapeutic.
It is. Have you been?
I like to go out on a surfboard.
Yeah.
I don't know if I call it surfing. I kind of am out
like
there
participating.
Yeah, I don't. I sometimes can catch a wave like a boogie board style, yeah, where you're just getting pulled in, but I haven't really done the like get up and drop in. Like, I want to do that.
Yeah, you guys got to go back to Hawaii and do it again.
Yeah, or Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
San Francisco is so gnarly.
Santa Cruz is mellow. Cowles Beach, like anyone can surf there. I take my little kids there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Lindemar is good, except for it's just packed with people, mm-hmm, that don't know what they're doing. So it's kind of scarier because a board could just shoot out into your head or something.
That's the worst thing. I'm not as scared of waves as I am as with other
idiots.
People.
Yeah. So you did mention you went to film school. Is that right?
Yeah. I went to film school in Los Angeles and studied television production, and it just went hand in hand with filming skate videos. At the time, I was doing a lot of filming the girls and filming little baby Leticia Buffoni on the weekends, and like, yeah, all sorts of stuff like that. So
rad.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie, that documentary, Learning to Skate as a Girl in a War Zone?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I won an Oscar last week, so yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. Tony Hawk was at the Oscars.
Yeah. What a time to be alive, huh? Like, this is so weird.
It's so weird.
This is especially weird for women skateboarding right now, because all of a sudden, like, we're getting, like, recognition and community and all these accolades and all this, like, and, like, an Oscar and, like this huge, I don't know, there's just been this, like, massive hyperspeed boost in women's and non-binary queer skating, like, the crews and the companies that are coming out, and it's just, like, I never thought I would ever see the day.
Uh-huh.
Like, 2020 is insane.
And so is there a little resentment or like, God damn it, where was this when I was younger? Or is it, thank God it's finally here? Or Jesus, what took you so long? Like, what's the vibe on that?
It's really interesting. I talked to Kristen Ebling, who's the executive director of Skate Like a Girl. And I remember like 15 years ago, we were doing a lot of like learn to ride demos and stuff like that. And so we were like teaching girls how to skate, and she's like, trust me, this is going to build the industry. And I was like, I don't know about this. Like, the pro dudes don't have to go teach boys how to skate. Like, why do we have to teach girls how to skate? But you watch like 10, 15 years later, and we have this big niche, but we have a big skate community now. And I feel like we kind of put in the grassroots effort from bottom to top and like built where we are now. So I feel like totally a part of it. I don't feel like any animosity towards not being a pro during this time. And if anything, I'm just like really, I just like never thought it would be like it is today. And I'm like, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, I think just in general, for the mag as well, like there's no magazines. There's none.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sports Illustrated, Rolling Stone, these magazines are pinner or don't exist.
Yeah.
And a skateboard magazine is the thickest it's ever been.
Yeah, and it's
and
like
people are wearing the gear at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Like it's just crazy.
Like you must be doing something right.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a really there's the hard work pays off feeling, but mm-hmm, then there's also the stars aligned, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like, whoa. Because I know every time there's a full moon, I get a little weird. So.
Is it tonight? When's the next full moon?
I don't know. Hopefully not. I think I'm fine right now.
I've heard that like when people are working as like labor nurses, that on full moons, they get like lots of baby births.
Yeah.
There's something.
And just like crazy things tend to happen. And then you'll be like, oh, there's a full moon. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And whether it's aligned or not, it's a good like it's placebo for me, just like, oh yeah, this is our excuse
why it is,
because that was crazy. Holy shit, another caller. Who do we got?
So I've got two questions for you, Alex. First is, what's the weirdest thing a guest has done at your house? Second question is, how does it feel to be the meme queen of our generation? Yes, I love you.
Oh, that was Vanessa Torres, wow. First time caller. Thank you for calling in.
It was funny because when it was Vanessa's voice, I'm like, well, one of the weirdest things was you, Vanessa, when you tried to make like breakfast in the toaster oven at like 1 a.m. with the egg thing. And then you left it, and then you said you didn't know who did it, but we all knew it was you. That was a good one too. There's a couple weird ones. Taylor Beattie was kind of weird, if you remember her.
Oh yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, but she was a weird house guest too. Yeah, maybe you, Vanessa, making the 1 a.m. You tried to like cook. She tried to like cook an egg in a toaster oven, a fried egg.
Oh, usually it's a microwave. You put it in the bowl, yeah. Mix it, and it comes out scrambled.
Yeah, she turned the toaster oven.
Wow.
But and then thanks for the meme queen shout out, Vanessa. As long as I can keep making you laugh and you'll hang out with me still, I feel pretty cool. So doing it all for her.
So what's the deal with memes? When did you get into this? How did you get into this? Like, do you have, what are, how does it all work? Do you think of it on your own? Do you go to sites? Like, I'm kind of not really familiar with it super much. I know what it is, but I don't know your process.
my artistic process. Yeah. With my meme.
Do you wake up every morning like,
Well, I got two kids and sometimes I need to like get away from them for like 10 or 15 minutes at a time. Just take a little break. Nothing like CPS service kind of stuff needing to be called. If I'm in the bathroom, I'll just like, I either make them or like I go to a bunch of websites and like find ones, or I repost other memes that I just think are funny. And, it's like it's a daily ritual of meme collecting, like hunter gatherer, and then some meme creations.
Is it like social media? You follow certain people that religiously put up good ones, or?
Yeah, it's like that. And then I have like a bunch of friends and like group chats that people are making them. Like there's some like really skate specific ones that I get out of like my friend Ted Schmidt and like, or like, you know, there's certain people that just like makes like, and like it's a collection of friends contributing and then like some stupid idea. And there's like memes come in, like memes are just like inside jokes that are like a picture and then some words. And a lot of the memes, like the basic thing is like, it's like a reaction shot, and then they're like, this is how I feel when like somebody cuts me off in traffic, you know, something stupid like that.
Right.
And so you just take like the format, and then there's like bizarre, like there's a couple little apps that I use to like put different wording on it, or like, you know,
like a caption. Or
yeah, a caption. Like a lot of the ones I'll like lift an image and then I'll put a new caption on it. That's like really common.
Do you have one or two that stick out as you're like, man, I hit a grand slam with that one?
There are some if I like, go back, but like they're hard to like repeat on a podcast because just like, they're so visual. I don't know. There was just one that I put up yesterday that I thought was really funny, which was like, me, I love you. And then the porn director, cut, what the fuck? But I don't know. There's some of them are just, they're just so stupid and like, yeah, I don't know. No,
humor is so important. Like, we got to laugh.
Yeah.
If we can't laugh, we're just, what's the point?
I think that when Instagram came around, whatever it was, like so many years ago, I kind of just thought, like, I don't really want to, I don't think anybody really wants to see anything about my life. I think it'd be just better to just bring people laughs, like, every day. Like, just try to make, like, 10 or 15, like, how great is that if you can just, like, be laughing at stupid shit?
Yeah.
It's way better than like having FOMO about somebody else's life or like great food. I mean, that stuff's cool too, but I just think that
I just figure if I put some picture of my life up, you will be laughing.
Your life is a meme.
Yeah, I was just like, dude, did you see this? Holy shit.
We talked about moving out. That actually was a meme. It sounded, you kind of sounded like Dave.
Sex in the City?
No. Sound like Curb Your Enthusiasm. You sound
fuck.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're making you clean it, but you're going to tear it down.
Yeah. So, yeah, that happened.
Schmidt was talking about his house having to get, he's moving out and they're like remodeling it, but then they're still telling him he has to clean it.
It's like you got holes in your wall from posters and whatnot, and you take all the tacks out and then there's holes in them. And the guy comes over and he's like, so we're going to tear those walls out, but before we tear them out, can you putty them up? What? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just, I mean, the contract says that. It's like, oh, okay, power trip. It's like going to Canada and going through customs, and you're just like, oh, you're going to just fuck me so hard.
Can you still go to Canada?
I can, but like it's anxiety driven the whole time. Like it's hard for Americans to go to Canada. I feel like, at least it's been my experience. Like the airport is just this. I told this story before, but I have to tell it again because it just blew my mind. We get off the airport or off the airplane in Vancouver, and we walk out of the fucking plane, and there's signs that say, you are being recorded for a reality TV show called Busted at the Border or some shit, or Border Wars.
Yeah, Border Wars.
And I'm like, wait, how are you supposed to sign off on this? No. Like, can I turn around and get on the plane and go back home? Like, there's no option.
Yeah.
So that seems kind of like against your rights, or I don't know. But then, so then, of course, while you're in line, you're like, oh, they want some TV material. They're going to fucking juice this. And it's just like this whole anxiety vibe where you're just like, once I get in the country, I love it there. Mm-hmm. I love Canada a lot. It's beautiful. People are nice, everything. But the airport and the customs is just like a really, I imagine it's like that for people coming to our country. So it's kind of like that thing. Well, your last name's Smith and you're white, so you don't understand this. But yeah. But you did just drop a name back a few back. It was Ted Schmidt, who he's got a little podcast going with you guys too. Well, it's actually a big podcast. It's Vent City.
Yeah.
And he started working here at Thrasher, helping us be a little more. Basically, what he does is he does the verbiage for the junk drawer and trying to keep a consistent voice. So he and I got to talk about, like, we're podcast nerds, like, oh, what about the, you know, whatever. But have you been doing it since its conception, or did you just get on later?
So in the original, it's Ted Schmitz, Ted Barrow, Kyle Beachy, Kristen Ebling, and Ryan Lay. And that was like the original five. And on the first one, they interviewed me about the Olympics. Like, I knew I was going to kind of like come on and do that.
Uh-huh.
But then they kind of had this idea that like, we don't want to just have like one token female talker, which Kristen is like an awesome, you know, voice for our scene. But they just kind of like bring me back as a rotating cast member. So like every time we're going to record, maybe not all of us can do it. Then like four out of the six of us are like, you know, we kind of get a balance. We try to get me and Kristen in there while like Ted and Ryan or Kyle are on the other side, you know. So anyway, yeah, we have like a rotating cast and a really great group chat that's basically like therapy for all of us. We've like, over the last year or two, we like become like really close. And like, I don't think me and Kyle Beachy have ever even met in person.
No way.
But like, I love the dude and we like text all the time. And like, I know what's going on in his life. And like, so we're close.
He's in Chicago.
Yeah, he's in Chicago. Okay. Right now he's in Colorado. Oh, okay. And he's like working on some writing. And yeah, there's just been it's good. Vent City has like good chemistry. And like, we talk about like a range of issues and we bring on guests. And I've never been a part of a podcast before, so it's been something that I've like listened to forever. But like now this, like, you know, with Talkin' Schmidt and Vent City and Thrasher Radio and The Bunt, there's like all these really great ones that I can like listen to on my long ass commute every day.
Yeah, Cheryl, my fiance, just got a new car, and it's so funny because her whole life she's had like a tape deck, broken radio, whatever. And she got a new car, has Bluetooth, and she's like, sends photos every day, like, I'm listening to a podcast. I'm listening. Like, she's so excited. I'm like, I knew, like, the car's good, but the stereo's the
stereo's the best part. Yeah. Yeah.
You got to be enjoying your drive when you're driving. Like, she drives like an hour back and forth just through the city. So it's like hell.
Yeah.
And like, wait, have some good shit to listen to and just have that be your hour away from everything. And kind of look at it differently, it might be. But the ones I've listened to a few. And what I would say is, have you guys ever thought about womansplaining, mansplaining? Is that a thing?
I think that at least the guys on the podcast feel like comfortable asking us about like questions like, well, what do you guys feel about this? Like, how do you personally feel about this? Or like trying to explain it. I think it's a good conversation for people to hear. Like, I think that we're very different, like, and we all have like a different take on things, and some things that Ryan would assume would offend me or like don't, you know, mm-hmm. or like would assume that I would have a hard time with or something. So like, you know, one of the topics we bring up a lot is like girl skaters that are getting sponsors and money who aren't really that great, but they're super marketable, right? So you're like, you know, she's hot or she's like, you know, relevant or an influencer. And, you know, she's getting a contract and she's getting money from Nike or whatever. Mm. And you look at somebody else on the other end that's like super underrated, like, well, I don't know, like Candy Jacobs, or like there's a bunch of, you know, Samantha Navarez, who's like getting some sponsors, but they're like, they're ripping skaters, but they're not getting anything, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes they like to pin, they like to ask, like, like, you know, our opinions about those kind of issues that I think that are like a little bit more closer to home for me and Kristen, and like we've been looking at and watching. And
well, like you said before, I think that has really kind of exploded in all our faces. And I think that it's for me personally, I think it's the best part of the podcast. It's because I want to know things and I don't want to get attacked for like being ignorant or saying it wrong or anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how else to learn except for fumble, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the transgender thing. It's really, I'm aware of it, mm-hmm. but I'm still not super versed on it by any means. And just like hearing you guys talk about it, and like, I'm excited to see Leo's, I think the documentary maybe is coming out on Netflix that Retta's doing. My whole point was like, don't get mad at someone that's just ignorant. Like, if they know and they're blowing it, that's one thing. But if it's like, I don't even know about this, like, educate me. And like,
yeah.
I think you guys are kind of like doing that.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah. I think it's important.
It. Yeah.
What's hard too, for even for people who, like, you can't be really an authority on like somebody else's life or experience, even if you're like adjacent to it. And so you run into this tricky thing where you try to explain like, you know, where Leo is at in their life. And but I'm not Leo, and I don't really know what they feel like identifying as. Like, I mean, I can ask them, and, you know, when I commentate, I make sure, like, Vanessa and I, but like, commentate, and we are like they them, and it was Leo, and like that's how we're gonna talk when we're talking on camera, and mm-hmm. just be respectful and treat everybody the same way about pronouns, and it's pretty basic. But I never, you know, I'm a parent with two little boys, like I never fault anybody for not knowing something, like, you know, like there, I think that there is like ignorance, and then there's like racism or like homophobia. Like there's like if you're keen on what the person's, if you're listening to what the person's asking and you're like getting the tone right, like, and you're not in a reactive place, you know, like just be a human being and like be compassionate, just the same way you want to be treated compassionately too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to someone today and I was explaining there is a difference between ignorance and stupidity. It's like ignorance is like, I don't know anything about this. Stupidity is like, I totally know about it and I'm still an idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and those are two different things. And so it's interesting. Like, I pay attention to skateboarding all year, and I think this guy is Skater of the Year. Well, that's pretty stupid. I don't know anything about skateboarding. I think this person is Skater of the Year. That's ignorant.
Yes, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know if that's kind of a simple way of putting it, but yeah, that stuff is, we all know.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope. You know, sometimes I feel like, do you even want me in on this? Like, it seems like sometimes people come across it where it's like, fuck you for jumping on the bandwagon right now. Like, it's girls is hot. Where were you a year ago? It's like, long story long, is that was a part that I took from it, going like, oh, I wonder if there's just a segment where like each week that's the same. And I could be like,
get your questions answered.
Somebody was talking about feeble grinds and how they're like, we can all disagree and agree with like what your favorite trick and which ugly tricks are and stuff. But knowledge is like really powerful. And so when like a girl gives her aspect of something, mm-hmm. that's something that is really valuable to me, because I'll never have that girl's aspect. So to hear about it and kind of like be more in tune. Mm. Of course, my fiance is a feminist and she's been helping educate me. And
she sounds rad too, by the way. I like when she interviewed you for your birthday episode.
Oh, cool.
That was so cute. I can tell she like really loves you. That's really sweet.
That if I didn't already know, that birthday experience was bananas.
That's
because
awesome.
She brought out the thing and she was like, she looked like a kid on Christmas morning, like right before you open the presents, just so excited. And I was like, oh man. And she's like, you have to answer every question. I was like, I will. Let's do it. Like, I could see how let's just. And she got so many people involved.
So many.
It was really cool. Like, it made me feel special. And then they did that thing on the Thrasher site, Burnett and Tony put together. And I was just like, this is kind of like too much. It was an emotional, like, I kind of I kind of got teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, she's the best. She's helping me in so many ways, and I love her. So I'm super excited about planning our wedding and all that.
When's the big day, you think?
Well, I was telling her, we were talking about 2020 was an idea.
220.
Like,
220.
Like February 20th, 2000. Wait, no, this is 21. Today. February 21st, 2021.
Okay, yeah. I got you.
We're going to do it in 2021 for sure, next cool. year. And it's like, do we care about the date? Do we care? Like, are the numbers cool? Do we want to just do it like at the time of the year? Mm-hmm. Do we want to do it on a special? So we're throwing all those mm-hmm. ideas. I don't know. Got any suggestions?
Well, you know, you have the opportunity this year to be married like on like 420.
Huh. In Mendocino?
Yeah, in Mendo.
Fucking
dope.
Dude, my friend's name is Keith.
Keith, yeah. He's going to officiate your wedding.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a little break and hear from some of our friends, and we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Public service announcement, and this one's for the show. This one's for Greg at Talkin' Schmidt, and this is to all of us listeners. I need you guys to support, and the way to support this Talkin' Schmidt movement is by buying merch. Buy a hat, buy a shirt, get the shout out shirt. It meant so much to get that shout out on the side of the arm. I never got a shirt made, so in a sense, me and Greg got a shirt together, collab with Neckface. That's what my head's thinking. Go get that shirt for me and Greg. Shout out.
Moving into the like current days, you're working at NHS with Crux Trucks.
Yeah.
Did you replace Ron Whaley?
I did. Ron is still there.
Yeah.
He is now doing like product videos and social mailers and like other bigger like product testing kind of roles.
Okay.
And so I took over the helm as a brand and TM for Crux in just this past year. And yeah, it's kind of, I think I'm the first female brand manager at NHS. And I think there's only been a handful of other female brand managers in skate. I think Megan Baltimore comes to mind. She's the CEO. And then Mimi and Lisa both were the brand managers of Hoopla and Meow Skateboards, which is still around. But those are kind of like all girls teams.
Right.
I'm the first one that's like mostly guys.
How special.
Yeah.
Have you done a trip or anything yet?
No.
You just started, right?
Yeah, I just started in October. So okay. I'm just learning the ropes and the P&Ls and the planning, budget planning. I've done a lot of ads and I've done like little skate parks. Like Travis Harrison just had a part that we just had come right. out and try to make a mix. You know, Crux is just such a great brand because like we're the misfit. We're like the funny. We've always been kind of weird with rainbow trucks and kind of always been hated on and kind of always been like the nerd in the corner. Uh-huh. Like, hey, we're not independent. We're in Crux.
Yeah.
And Ron's always had like such a good humorous tone with everything. Like,
well, the first thing that came to mind was, are you going to get a shot to be in the Insane Crux Posse?
Oh my God. I gotta do the face paint.
Like I'm taking a test. I don't know what to put. Why does everyone push with their back foot?
Why are hard flips so damn hard? The board popped up and hit me in the gnaw. I get one more shinner, I'm go berserk.
Dolphin flips, how do they work? Get offline, go out and skate. It's hot out here, sweat off my face paint.
Are you ripping on me?
Magnet, how the fuck do they work?
That's the best for all of you that haven't seen it. You gotta see, I'll repost it on our Instagram, but the Insane Crux Posse, they did all these like ICP videos and these are the dudes from The Office, and Ron's an amazing rapper, you know.
And did you go to interviews for this process?
Yeah, so I started interviewing there. Andrew Cannon, who's like one of my closest friends, I asked him, I'm like, hey, I'm like thinking about getting into skate, like I don't want to do real estate anymore, and like I've been commentating with him and judging, I'm like, I want to work in skate, I don't really want to do that anymore. And I was like, is there any jobs at NHS? And he kind of like started me in the loop almost a year ago. And I interviewed for a couple different positions. And then Ron like kind of like gave me the job. Like he decided to like let me take the reins with it and see which direction I could take this brand. After 17 years, I imagine that was like handing off a child. Like But me and Ron, like, we've always been friends, and now, like, we're tight. Like, he's one of my favorite people in the world.
Did you have to up your basketball game?
For him?
For the position. I mean, we're talking about a 7-foot giant.
Well, I think everybody was laughing around the office because, like, Ron's teaching me the ropes, and I'm like, I come up to his waist.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, big shoes to fill in, huh, Alex? Big shoes to fill in. I'm like, yeah, I know. Ron's a lot bigger than me. But we saw eye to eye. Ron is a gentle giant and, like, an amazing person. And he's got, like, a little wild streak, and he's, like, super funny.
Ron's the best.
He's the best dude.
We did a skate park roundup with Crux, and Ron and I think Louis Barletta probably kind of, you know, organized the whole thing. And we basically went to Louis' hometown in between 5 and 99.
Yeah.
And we just spent, like, 3 or 4 days just in that area.
That's cool.
And it was so rad. Like, you're on vacation, but you're only, like, 45 minutes from home.
Yeah.
But you're, like, in this kind of, like, very different
the
place.
Cuts kinda,
like, yeah, it's, yeah, like, kind of Modesto-y, like, you know, that area. But there's, like, 4 skate parks, and it was just a blast. We had a great time. And
yeah.
And I've known Ron for so long.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
Yeah, so
he's a lifer, cool, like you. Like,
yeah.
And Ron's, like, my idol. He's still skating. Like, I'm not going to say how old Ron is.
Mm-mm.
But
he's younger than me, though.
It's true. So if Schmitty is 50, and you guys can do math. Uh-huh. But Ron, like, yeah, he's testing all the products, and he's, like, he rips. He's, like, and he's, like, a kid, like, the best thing is, like, getting to know him. Like, I watched, we were setting up, like, this crate in the hallways of NHS. We're setting up these, like, crazy ass, like, flat bar contraptions, like Gavin from Independent. And, like, he loves flat bars. Everybody loves flat bars, but except me. But they're making these, like, and Ron was, like a little kid. Like, he was like, oh, okay, we're going to put this one in this one, and then you're going to, like, do this. And they're making, like a Lego, like, it was like a whole lane, you know, 100 yards of fucking flat bars. And they were skating it, and it was just, like, I just, like, loved watching Ron, like, how much joy, like, he still gets out of skating, and, like, and he takes such good care of himself, and, yeah, like, stretches, and, like, eats super healthy, and he's, like, all in this, like, routine around it, and, like, and it's funny, as you get older, like, you love skateboarding so much, like, you're a kid, like, I was in my 20s, like, I didn't give a fuck about my body. Like, I would eat crap, and I drank too much beer, and yeah, I was just, like, shitty, and I was, like, overweight, and I would never work out, and, like, and then as, like, and, you know, you're in your prime then, and you don't even care. And then now I'm like, okay, I need, like, my aspirin and my dark chocolate and my turmeric and, like, just so that you can, like, you know, squeeze a little bit more of the juice out of, like, yeah, skating and the fun. And you want to have this as long as you can. So you're just, like, I just see how Ron's kept his program up so he can still do it. And, like, I want to be able to do, like, I want to skate as long as I possibly can, too.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Like, obviously, your body needs to be in its best possible condition, and getting hammered and waking up hungover at, like, after 40 is kind of tough. He's like a one-man demo. He's got jump ramp skills. He's got the tranny skills. He's got street skills. He's got it all.
Street plants. He's amazing.
Yeah, Ron's the shit. Okay, so we got to talk about the online petition on Bigfoot to be a presenter at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics.
So first thing, this wasn't my idea. Bigfoot Magazine, big shout out to Megs and Amy Carone. They have their own online zine and real zine that just covers, like, women's skateboarding stuff. They wanted to launch this petition to get me as a commentator for Tokyo 2020. And yeah, so they launched it last year, and we got, like, 2,400 signatures on the petition, which, thank you, everybody who signed it. That's awesome. And I think that the push was that we're seeing, like, the Olympics come in, and they really wanted, I guess, that, like, a lot of people wanted me to commentate it, not only as, like, you know, being a female voice, but also, like, really being in skateboarding and really loving it. And
A veteran,
yeah. And I have all the stories. I think that the stories are behind the skaters, just, like, you know, thrash. Like, the stories are, like, the coolest part about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just watching skaters, like, skip across a giant, you know, stair set, like, there's no context. It sucks. It's just, yeah, like, and the environments are so sterile, and they're going to be wearing those uniforms.
And, like, para, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, like, I thought, I really, like, I have a passion to bring some, like, humanity to it. And, like, I'd love to tell people about, like, you know, who these skaters actually are. And, like, I'd love to commentate it. So we're seeing about it. I don't think I'm going to get the job, like, not to disappoint, because, like, from everything I've heard, NBC and BBC aren't looking for new people, and that they're just going to use their snowboard broadcast team and bring them to broadcast skate.
Okay.
Because like a lot of the snowboarders have experience skating too, and they don't really see the difference between snowboarding.
This is Sean White. What's up, America? Fuck, dude. Tony Hawk. Oh, he's not out there. I think Naja won. Fuck.
That's about what it's going to be like, yeah.
Tough, tough moves for Sean White. He has been scratching at all the heels of the pros winning the big contests. And you know, he would love to take home a gold.
Fuck, that's going to be... Are you having any part of it then?
I don't know. I have a couple.
Are you like coaching or the you hanging with the American girls or?
Mimi Noop is the coach for America, uh-huh. and Mark Waters for the men. Mimi for the women's.
Oh,
yeah. I have nothing with Team USA. There's been a couple like little like maybes. Like there's the opportunity to maybe do live event production. So go there and like talk. Mm. There's the opportunity maybe to do like stats or to like maybe even get into broadcasting. I don't really know yet if they've made their like final decision. There's a potential to judge too, because I'm a certified Olympic judge. But really, like, there's also an opportunity to not have to go and just to like go camping with my kids, yeah. which sounds more fun right about now than 3 weeks in Tokyo.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. So my whole thought process is like, you got the job.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you like 100% stoked or are you kind of conflicted?
I think I'd be all in with anything. Like anything in my life, I just feel like, why not? Like why not see what it's like? And uh-huh. like if it sucks, you don't have to do it again.
People
but
like watching car wrecks.
Yeah, exactly.
Hollow Meat's our favorite fucking, you know, everybody watches probably, Hollow Meat.
It could be like a slow motion Hollow of Meat. I don't have any like firm stance or like political opposition to the Olympics, like especially for women's skateboarding and like for skateboarding in emerging nations, like the Olympics is good.
Okay.
And so I can see the benefit outweighing the negative, but I think it's getting built up into this big thing. And when it happens, it's going to kind of be like, fizzle, not going to be this huge earth shattering thing that a lot of people hope the Olympics will be for. I think that the people we think are going to win are probably going to win. And then we're probably going to be over it and like realize that, oh shit, we have to do this every 4 years now. Fuck, it's on the schedule. Like, you know.
Whoever gets the Wheaties box better not go Botox. That's all I got to say because I can't handle that.
The Wheaties and Botox.
It's like I was watching the debate last night and Joe Biden's face. Are you kidding me? Like these people.
He looks insane.
It's so crazy. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Just wait. Like do it gradually or yeah. don't, I don't know. Yeah, I'm really curious.
What do you think about it? Like, what do you thought?
Okay, my thought process is if somebody gave me a ticket to go, I would go.
Yeah, that's
because I want to see it, and I'm probably going to watch it from here because I have to see it. Like, what's going to happen? The kid in me, the skater, like, what brought me to this is definitely going to be looking for all the wrong, right? Like, I'm going to have a hypercritical eye on all the mistakes that are made. And I tend to do that a lot with everything already. But this is going to be magnified because I'm going to be like, fuck you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, why is a snowboarder announcing? Mm-hmm. First and foremost, how are you guys judging this?
Mm-hmm.
Who's like, why is her kickflip better than his kickflip? Mm-hmm. Or her versus her? I don't know how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. But correct me if I'm wrong, because this is my thought process getting back to what you said about the girls. I kind of think that, at least right now, girls skateboarding, the way that they can benefit most is from events right now, especially the transition girls like Lizzie, Alicia. I just think that if events are important for people, then duh, why wouldn't they go to the biggest event of the year? Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to do Street League, you're that type of skater. Why wouldn't you do the Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
And unless they totally fuck it up, which they can, but why not go and be like, the first X Games sucked, but I think they made it less sucky, maybe. Mm-hmm. And they could do the same with the Olympics with your participation. We're the only ones that can help it get better,
mm-hmm.
or just boycott the whole thing and say, no, we don't want it. And then it's just Sky Brown versus Sky Brown.
Yeah, you have a lot of like really good points about it. I think that the Olympics is going to create enough polarity in skateboarding that they're like you can be that fucking contest machine skater and you can have your pocket there, and then you can like what it'll also expand the skateboarding universe enough so that like you can be Nora and just be yourself and market yourself as this crazy skater, super talented skateboarder, artist, like entrepreneur. And you got this corner and whatever way kids find their way into skating, they like can find their little spot in the universe and there's just more room for everybody. But then, like, on the other hand, like, you're seeing the Olympics, like, take control over something that we all really love, right? And they're going to, like, they're going to fuck it up. I mean, they're going to fuck it up. Like, they're going to make it, it's impossible to appeal to how everybody wants it to look like. And, I mean, they're not going to, like, fuck it up in the sense that they're going to, like, not do a good contest. They're probably going to do, like, a very legit contest. But they're going to make it, nobody's going to love, not everybody's going to love what's going to happen at the Olympics, you know?
Right. So, I mean, for me personally, I have a problem with all contests.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem going to them. I don't have a problem covering them. But I always have a problem with how they're judged. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, at the end of a contest, it's very rare that who I thought would win wins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I'm, like, blind. I think I have a pretty good eye for what's going on. And when it's like this guy won or this woman won or whoever won because of this formula,
mm-hmm.
I just don't think that's how a contest should be. I think it should be like, duh, that person won.
Mm-hmm.
Duh, it was obvious. We just saw it.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Pedro Barros blew the fuck out of this and you gave it to somebody else or whatever. It's like, huh.
I mean, like, how ripping is Pedro Barros and Cora Junot? Like,
yeah.
So different,
though. Yeah.
Like, such different
and
skaters.
And how do you judge it?
Yeah, I know. It's like, I mean, I guess, like, when I have judged events like that, I'm like, on this day, at this park, in this moment, like, who had the better showing? Like, who did?
But there's so much politics.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Corey does the same tricks in a row every time he skates, and Pedro just skated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, but what Corey's doing is insane.
Yeah.
And the style he does it with is really...
Yeah.
Like, I love watching Corey skate.
I love him, too.
And
Pedro, I'm like a fan. I mean, Pedro is like my own, like.
But there's all these, you know, and the judges are calling me. I'm not going to answer any more phone calls today, but they're all like, you don't even know about Sinclair and I. We'll always get into it at the things. I was talking to.
Sinclair is a pretty good judge, too. He's very, he helped me when I first started judging.
And they know it. Like, this is another thing. I'm ignorant, but I'm like, how the fuck did you? Well, this guy did 32 tricks. I was like, yeah, but like 10 of them were flat ground kickflips.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that better than the two insane things that guy did and he never fell? It's like, that's hard. So back to what I was trying to get at was, if you're going to do the Olympics, it almost makes more sense to do like a downhill race or a high jump or like something that's like, that person won.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no subjective criteria.
Right.
It's just like one thing. It's objective criteria. It's that. It's the highest. It's the fastest. Like, that would actually make sense. That's why, like, those Olympic events that are like that are really...
Yeah, like the luge. It rules. It's my favorite. It's like, that guy is crazy as shit.
He
went 2.5 seconds faster than that guy. He won. Duh.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were talking to Bob Burnquist about it last week, and he's like, yeah, but that's the same problem with all events. I was like, I know, but they got to perfect it before they take it to the fucking grand stage.
It's not
going to
be perfect in the next 4 months. It's not.
Yeah, no.
You know, I think that people have, like, there's a lot on the line, too, but I think people have to understand that there's, like, a learning curve to all of this. Like, this whole thing that they're trying to do, like, be compassionate to the fact that, like, a lot of people, like, are really, really passionate about, like, competitive skating, and that's what they love. And just because, like, maybe you don't fuck with competitive skating, like, that person loves skateboarding as much as you do, but, like, in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also interested. Do you think there's going to be the country pride? Like,
I don't know.
Hey, we're friends.
It'd be hard
but not
for me to have
the
USA
Olympics.
Pride right now.
Yeah, but like more like Brazilian versus US. Stay away from me.
That might actually like breed some like pretty interesting like like fired up people. Like King of the Road seems to bring it out of people where you didn't think that like the Element team had it in them, but they're really getting behind it.
Like, well, that's what Axel and I were talking about. It was like, he was on King of the Road and they went to spots that other teams had gone to and they fucked the spot up so they couldn't skate it. And I was like, what if they do that in the Olympics? Like, fuck you, Finland. Like, it'd be insane. But that would be kind of cool if they made skateboarding like they're the rebels. Of course, they're doing crazy shit.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Neck face just lit somebody on fire.
We could have the a penalty box too. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, like you're.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right, enough Olympic talk. We got to talk about the top 10 article you just did on Thrasher.
Yeah.
Maybe the first time ever Thrasher's done something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of firsts for you. So I think you should, I'm sure a lot of people are telling you how rad you are, but definitely tap yourself on the back. How hard was that, though? I'm sure it's a very opinionated thing where people like myself are like, what about
Lizzie? You texted me right away.
And you're like, it was 2012. Like, not that year.
I think it's, thank you. And I think Lizzie had a fucking hell of a 2018, but this was 2019. I didn't have the idea until this year to do this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think, and also Breezy had a video part in 2018 to Wisteria that was amazing, but uh-huh. like, yeah. I just think that after this year we had, like, it wasn't really so much about ranking people and making, but lists are fun. It's nothing to bum anybody out. Like, if Samaria had like a video part or something a little bit more solid in 2019, God, I wanted her on the list so bad. But like looking through her year, like she was kind of doing Olympic stuff and like contest stuff. And anybody last year that was doing Olympic stuff and contest stuff, I didn't really include on the list unless they were doing a bunch of other mind blowing stuff too. So, back to that. I just thought 2019 was such a historic year for like women and non-binary skateboarders. Like we had like Gizmo, we had this like Little Vans video, we had like all these Nora's part seance. Like I just was like, look at all these videos, and they're just like, you know, you how it feels right now. Like videos are just like whipping by your Instagram feed and you're like not like giving them proper attention. Like I watched Alyssa's part from Welcome to Hell and from Jump Off a Building like a million times.
Right.
I know like the Janis Joplin song, and then I can't remember the first song, the name of the artist.
I think it was really the Sundays.
Sundays, like the kind of the Sundays, yeah. Like,
hey, does a wave tickle back though? We gotta get the answer.
I know, I'm still thinking about that. But just like how much, and like even like 10 years ago, like Marisa Del Santo's part, and you know, it's
still
like,
maybe the it's so fucked.
Mar, you're my favorite of all time.
That one was gnarly.
You're just a beast. I hope you come back and like just show all these girls what's up. But yeah, I just want to shed light again on 2019. It was really awesome when I talked to Michael about doing that, that he was down. And like we went through like 7 drafts of it because like originally I wanted to call it a couple different things. And like most of it, the point of the whole article is not to like rank people and make them feel like they didn't do enough. It's just to like shine some light on like how much shit happened in 2019. And like I hope to do it every year. So just like, hey, here's everything you may have missed out on like in this corner of skateboarding. Here's all these video parts, and like Ted Schmidt did an awesome job of linking all the video parts. So if you get a chance to check that out, that article on Thrasher, 2019 top 10 women and non-binary skaters.
And what was the original name?
It was the top 10 skaters of 2019 you might have missed if you're a misogynist.
Yes. Okay, so that brings me to another question that I've asked other people, and I'm wondering what you may think about this. Do we need a female skater of the year category? Like at events, they have a men and a women, right? Should Thrasher have a women's skater of the year, or are we just holding out and hoping someday a woman will win the skater of the year?
I think that you don't have a women's skater of the year.
You don't?
No. Like Trans World used to do like the women's skater of the year, and they would just bank it up, like base it off of World Cup skate rankings for years. And I think that there should be more girls and non-binary people like included in the skater of the year conversation, you know?
Right.
But like, you guys know this, like every time you do skater of the year, everybody hates you. Like nobody's going to be happy. Yeah. Everybody hates Mike. Mike is like hiding for December, but like it's tough, you know? And like, I think that you can make the case for like almost everybody who's nominated for, you can make the case for any one of those people. Just like, it's like hard judging a contest. Like, and I just would love to see some more inclusion on some other skaters like that had like a hell of a year the year before too. And
yeah, this year Alexis was
Nora was nominated,
but Alexis was not, and she should have probably been. Like, who are some of the other ones that
Leo had a hell of a year, and that part in Gizmo was really, really good. Alexis and Leo and Alyssa, I mean, like Alyssa, I mean, last year, like, she filmed so much, like, stuff and, like, gnarly shit and, like, you know, had the anchor part in Gizmo and, like, I just was super impressed to see her coming out and, like, skating super good and, like, sticking to what she's good at and, like, and ripping and, like, I don't know. It was just, like, everybody wants to see you skate and it's so awesome when, like, a skater, like, privileges us with their appearance. And
well, here's a little secret, because I'm actually pretty close with Alyssa. She has a lot of footage that they didn't use in the Baker video, and her and I are talking about compiling another part for her with a little more filming. We might even do it. I don't know if I should say this or not, but I will. Sammy Baca might be included as, like, a Sammy and Alyssa part, because they filmed a lot of stuff that wasn't used for one reason or the other, and it's all pretty, like, there's some stuff that was really good. Like, yeah. I was like, whoa, they didn't remember that thing we filmed? She's like, I know, but, I mean, it was a long, that Baker video, no hate, that thing was awesome, and it was long, and I can't imagine editing that many people and having that pressure, but, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. She had a shoe collab with Nike, having a part in the Nike video, Gizmo. She, okay, this is not the youngest knife in the drawer, and she is traveling like a fucking maniac. She went to China like 3 times in 1 year. She's like on the plane all the time, and you know, she's got that pod lifestyle, but it's really cool. I'm so inspired by her in so many ways. She's given me so much, you know, ways to think positively and just like, hey, it hurts, but let's do it. And her mental attitude is among the best that I've ever met.
Oh yeah.
And I can honestly say that I love her a lot. She's meant a lot to our friendship. Has just been huge. And her and Rachel are like the best couple they ever. Rachel's so cute.
I tried to give her the bonus award for best couple. Mike said, he's like, you gotta do something else. That sounds kind of cheesy, but I'm like, but I love Rachel. Yeah, they're the best. And
well, did you get any other calls besides me though? Was there any?
Yeah.
Did you get some beef? Like, what? Who? This person wasn't on.
Mostly Samaria. People are like, why didn't you put Samaria on? And I'm like, look, I am a nerd. I look through their entire year. I know exactly what they've been up to. And like, there is like a part that kind of bridged the end of 2018-2019 for Samaria, which was sick, but it was like 2018 basically. And like 2019, like, I think she's just trying to like get a groove on. Does she want to do the contest? Does she not? So I had to make the case of a couple people, and then a couple people like slap just tore it apart, and they're like insane, and they're like, and then like some other people were just like giving me shit for ranking people or like putting out an article like that. And like, there's a lot of people that make the complaint, like, why is there still a division between women and non-binary and then like men skateboarding? Why isn't it all just one thing? I'm like, you know, I get that complaint a lot. Like, why have a queer night? Why have your own shit? And it's like, we have been on the periphery of the mainstream skateboarding for so long, not even mainstream, like mainstream and then subculture skateboarding. We've been this other for so long that it's really important for us to like hold our own space, hold space and take up space in different ways. And like, and honestly, like reinvent ourselves and reestablish ourselves as our own entity. Like, we're not going to pretend it's like trying to say that like there's no racism because I, you know, there's black and white people everywhere I see or something like that. Like, it still exists and it's still really important for us to have our own like space and our own communities and like, integrate and everything like that. But it's not like we can like snap your fingers and put Leticia and Nyjah in the same contest and call it a day. You know, there's a lot of work to do and there's a lot of need for our own as well as being part of the bigger picture too. And I think there's a huge need for Thrasher to have like an article like this out there that doesn't necessarily have to be ranking, but just the inclusion is really important. But also the inclusion and also being like, we are separate too. We are different. Like, we just, you know, we're a different kind of skater, and that's a value too, and seeing the value in these people,
yeah, you know,
totally. And including them, yeah,
absolutely. Did you go into the Slap message boards and look at what they were saying about an article you wrote?
Yeah, actually,
that is ballsy.
It was bad. Like, well, I mean, like, I work in marketing, and you know, hey guys on Slap, like everybody that is in marketing and all of the skate companies, like, they're the ones starting these posts about their shoe company and their products. Like, you guys aren't all like, you know, there's a lot of spies, basically.
Right.
So,
but there's a lot of negative opinions, and it's hard vicious. To read that about like something you worked on and put in some effort. How do you let those things roll off of you?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah. I've dealt with a lot worse in my life.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'm such a sensitive shell collector.
You are. It's cute.
Alyssa's like, you don't.
I see what Cheryl sees in you.
Yeah, Alyssa's like, you don't handle loss very well. I was like,
who does?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, Wallenberg.
Mm-hmm.
This is my dream.
Who's going to ollie it? You want
to
know?
That's my dream. And whoever does it, I have to fucking be there. Okay. So Samaria, quit not returning my phone calls because you're my lead on this. Maybe Letitia, I don't know.
No one's going to do it before Olympics.
I know. They're not even going to skate down the street before Olympics. People are scared to get hurt.
Out of pure, like, fuck allness, like, the person who would get, like, gnarly would be Alexis Sablon.
Really?
Well, just
does
like,
she have the have you pop ever seen her?
Yeah, I don't know. She's got a lot of pop.
You been there?
She'd probably be better kickflipping it. Like, she can kickflip into things that I don't even know she can ollie into. But you have to get somebody that's pretty fiery to do that.
Yeah. Marissa was my hope.
Marissa, yeah, she like broke two boards in that one.
Yep.
With a Roland or no Roland? Just straight
bump. No, with the Roland. We have the Roland. And I'll fly somebody up here if they want to do it. Like we'll get the photographer. It'll be in the mag. It might even be we don't know what it'll be, but it'll be covered in a really good way. And I would love to celebrate it. And I'd love to be there because I've been a part of a lot of Wallenberg and just getting that girl to do it is, I think it's one of the biggest things left for before I retire and float
you
out.
You
want to
see that? Yeah. Yeah. Who did Alyssa say? Did she bring anybody up? What's her call on it?
Alyssa tried it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in her glory days. I don't think, you know, Alyssa's weird when you ask her about other people. She's like, she's kind of just focused on her thing.
That's
I don't
rad.
Think she doesn't really have like, oh, this person could do it or not. But maybe some of these young kids that I don't even know who they are. There's so many girls that skate for Nike that like I don't even.
Yeah.
And like I was talking to Fabi about it and she was like, not me, but.
Yeah. God, you know, I'd see that like that little girl.
She said
like,
Samaria. She said Fabi said Samaria could do. She's like, I think Samaria might be able to backside 180.
I thought, I heard that. That's a call out. I think Samaria could. Samaria could do anything. Like she's just...
with the ramp, especially with the right mental.
Yeah,
you know, spend the night in SF in a hotel. Mm. Don't have to drive.
Mm.
Get your stretching. Get your coffee. Whatever your ritual is. Get there, stretch it out, feel it, and just start getting fired up. And who knows?
Yeah,
I mean, she's ollied some big shit. She's kickflipped some big shit.
Mm-hmm.
We were filming for a video part at one point, and then. And Joy grabbed her and she started, like, King of the Road. Like, it was interesting because all of a sudden, like, everyone wanted a piece. And I was like, all right. But we had some good stuff, but I think it all got used in the Enjoy stuff. But anyway, yeah, I would love to see that.
Yeah,
so
I would have tried it.
Maybe that can be our mission.
I would have tried it years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Hollywood High 12, and I tried big stuff.
You did?
Carlsbad. Yeah, and I remember Leticia did a lot of the things that I tried. Like, and it was sick to watch. She used to, like, just send it.
Letitia was at Buster Bale at the Paul Revere,
and
right?
Did that one?
With the handrail.
Did she land the stairs? Did she?
I don't remember. I
she
know
was so
she,
little.
Yeah.
She's so
and
fine.
No one knew who she was, really. She had the bandana. Yeah. She was like, what? That was so sick, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There. I mean, I bet a girl will do Wallenberg, you know, in the next year or two.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Let's get it.
I think people are just like in a holding pattern because they want to do well in the contest. Like so many people's paychecks and like their livelihood depend on these. So they're just like holding on out. And maybe we're going to see like a big fucking filming boom. I want to see all these girls that are at Olympics come out of this and then start filming parts. Okay?
All right.
Thanks,
I like
guys.
It. All right. Dad hats or mesh hats?
I used to wear mesh hats, but I can't wear dad hats because my head, neither. It's too giant.
Taco or burrito?
Taco.
What's your lunch go-to at work?
I bring in like a salad or like some leftovers.
But if Lee or somebody's like, I'll take you to lunch wherever you want. Do you go to the brewery? Or do you go to the yacht club? Where do you go?
Lee, if you're taking me to lunch.
Oh, Lee doesn't take anyone to lunch?
Lee, you want to take me to lunch? He's just like everywhere. Now I probably want to go get like a burrito or something like that. Yeah.
You got a spot in St.
Yeah,
Chris?
There's the taqueria. Gosh, what's it called? It's on 17th. I'm not from Santa Cruz, so everywhere people take me. I really like the ramen spot, too, on 41st Avenue.
Did you move to Santa Cruz, though, or no?
No, I'm still in Monterey. You commute. I'm still commuting. That's why I listen to your podcast so much.
Whoa.
Every day. Every time you have a new episode, I'm like, sick.
I'll tell you where to stop then.
Where?
You stop at fucking Phil's Fish Market.
Oh, yeah. Phil's is great.
It's the best.
But my friends, my really good friends, own Sea Harvest.
Oh.
And they're the homies, and their Chipino is actually better than Phil's.
Ooh.
I know.
Well, for you Phil's Chipino lovers, you got to get to the Tadich Grill in San Francisco.
I've heard that. That's really good.
I love seafood.
Me too.
Yeah, Phil's is a staple for me. Every
Phil's
time
is
I
great.
Go down, like I hang out with Jason in Watsonville, and we'll go to Phil's and just kick it. It's so good. The salad with like the blackened salmon.
That's killer. Mm, yeah, Phil's is awesome.
Wow, so you go... You don't work 5 days a week, though.
I work Monday through Friday from the office, and then Fridays from home. So Fridays I get to.
Oh, Monday through Thursday.
Sorry, yeah, I'm Monday through Thursday in the office.
So
Fridays.
So 4 days you're going back and forth.
Yeah, it's a grind. Yeah, and I'm gone from like get my kids, get them out to school, leave. I'm gone for like 10 or 11 hours, 12 hours a day. 4 days a week.
Oh my god.
Hey, but it's better than selling houses on the weekend. Let me tell you.
Is it?
Oh my god, it's so much better. Working in skateboarding, it's like, all the tough shit I dealt with in my life and. All of, like, the kind of heavy stuff and, like, the stuff. My girlfriend's a firefighter and, like, her shit's, like, real. Like, her bad day at the, her every day at the office is everybody else's worst day in their life.
In Monterey or Carmel? Or?
Salinas.
Oh, in Salinas.
Yeah, so Salinas is pretty.
Yeah.
And then, like, I come back and I'm like, oh, these parents want all these trucks for their kid. Like, my life, it's, like, it's funny. It's great and, like, it's humorous and it's, like, and it's joyful and I love my job and it's worth it. It's great.
One of my friends is a firefighter. Well, a few of them are, but one that I can't mention because this story might get him into trouble, but he pulled a sheet out of somebody's mouth like that. It got stuffed all the way down their trachea, killed the person. Like they got in a dispute at home.
Oh, God.
And he just yanked. Yeah, so.
God.
I'm sure she sees some crazy
shit.
She
sees some really
San Francisco's gnarly, though. Yeah. I bet they see, like, big city shit is pretty heavy with the drugs and everything. But Salinas is pretty sketchy.
Salinas is actually, like, they're the busiest station, I think, in between here, like, besides San Francisco. Like, they're busier than San Jose, just in terms of, like, fires and...
Really?
Yeah, they're just, like, super, super busy.
Fuck.
It's all old, East of Eden, John Steinbeck, old shipping, like things just burn there. It's old, it burns, the fire safety's not that good, and there's a lot of crime, there's a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of migrant like communities that like, with just there's just like a lot of rampant bad stuff.
You ever seen Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, at Whole Foods. That's the only place I've ever seen that guy.
No way.
Yeah.
Huh. what was the lady, the actress name that runs the hotel? Doris Day?
Doris Day. She's still alive.
Yeah, she has the hotel in Carmel, right?
Yeah, she's a big pet lover. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Never seen her though.
Pebble Beach, you go there? You
golf? I used to work there. No,
no.
I used to work in a bar for golfers.
Okay.
Yeah, and they'd always ask me for Coke, and I'm like, why do I look like I have Coke? I'm like a small busser. I don't know.
What about you probably know about this because
you wait at tables too.
Pacific Grove, it's a Zorro spot, so you probably know about. You pull up in your car. You turn the radio channel and they do the Christmas lights.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucking love that
place. I love
place.
That place. It's like right by, you were right by my house when you were doing that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Uh-huh.
I went this year. It was like not as good, but still rad.
Yeah, yeah. I take my kids there like every year.
Okay. Well, anything else we should touch on?
No, I think I'm just like really honored to be here and have been on your show. And I hope,
Fuck, thank you. I'm honored to have you here. And, look at all these Thrasher shirts. What's your favorite logo?
I like the Why Can't My Boyfriend Skate? Or like, I love the crying.
Yeah.
I love that one. And there's a riff on it that my friends did. Then it's like two gay guys. And the gay guy is saying, why doesn't my boyfriend why can't he skate? And I just fucking love that shirt. So I like some of the Thrasher ripoffs too. I think that they're really funny.
Yeah. They're cranking them out in malls everywhere. It's like people are like, hey, I bought this. That's not ours. Like, it's like. Crazy. They spelled Thrasher wrong.
Oh my god. Could you ever imagine? What do you think about don't wear Thrasher if you don't fucking skate?
Dude, I get so many. Well, actually not that much anymore, but I was getting crazy emails from parents about like, my daughter got almost beat up at school today because she wore a Thrasher shirt and they started yelling at her, she doesn't know what skateboarding and all this stuff. And it was like, I don't know what I can do. Like, you guys bought the shirt. Your school sounds pretty harsh. Maybe talk to the principal. I don't know. I would say this. I remember when Nirvana went huge. It bummed me out. Like, mm-hmm. I liked Nirvana when they did Bleach, and then all of a sudden Nevermind came out, and it was huge, and I was like, but I've never been the person that was like, now that they're big, I don't like them anymore. It's like, I still love them. I hate the baggage that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just take in a lot of pride that Thrasher is a magazine that is still a magazine that prints a thick magazine, which means people want to advertise in it. And most of those advertisements, if not all, are people that are pretty respectable. Mm. That being said, it's going to appeal to a lot of people, because how the fuck is this magazine still going in 2020? It's kind of a big deal. So I don't know. Tony Vitello said it great 1 year at the Christmas party. It was one of the best speeches I ever remember, is nobody is out there wearing Sports Illustrated shirts. Nobody's out there wearing other magazines. Like, you don't see that. Maybe Rolling Stone, maybe a few. Mm. But, like, Thrasher is a magazine that it's like a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just pretty powerful. And it's bigger than anyone. And it's nobody's Thrasher. Man, I just got so lucky. Like, the stars aligned. There was no full moon. And I just slid in. So I'm stoked.
I think it's good that you're here too, and like that you did slide in when the how many years ago? How many years?
Fuck, 20. It was 20 this year. It'll be 21 this.
Nice.
Yeah. Basically, Phil Schau was a good friend of mine, and I got in with him and rode his coattails and got to be at Think and started making websites and filming for them. And then when Phil died, Jake came over and was like, "Hey, you're coming to work for Thrasher," and that was 98 and. Mm-hmm. So it was like, fuck. And then I always tell the story that Transworld made the mistake of saying top 10 worst websites in all of skateboarding and putting Thrasher in there. And now where are we? And where are you? You shouldn't have opened your mouth. So that's pretty much my Thrasher pride. I don't have a Thrasher tattoo, though.
No, I got a Skate Witches tattoo on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No way.
I got to give like a shout out to Skate Witches.
Shout out to Skate Witches.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Shout out.
Kristen, Shari.
Is that an annual thing that they do up in Seattle too?
Yeah. And this year will be September 11th through the 14th. And it, for all of you that don't know, Wheels of Fortune and the Skate Witch Hunt are like the Coachella for women and queer and non-binary skate world. It's like a 4-day party, and it's amazing, and there's lots of people and panels, and I think this year it's gonna be more important than ever to like bring everybody together and have this amazing event. So it's
That's super fun.
September okay.
So 11th through the 14th. After the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we had to bump it, but we thought it'd be great because like people will be done with the Olympics and they're just gonna want to have fun and like go like on a stupid scavenger hunt and like go eat good food and skate together and all that good stuff.
Is it semi king of the road? Like there's like kind of like things you need to do, accomplish on, and then you put a video together and the best one wins?
Yeah, Kristen had this idea like just to basically make a 1-day king of the road for everybody that was in town for Saturday. They were in town for the contest on Sunday, but Saturday they didn't have anything to do. She gave them like a scavenger hunt, and it was like kind of like, it was totally King of the Road inspired. So
cool.
We used to call it Queen of the Road, or and then the Skate Witch Hunt, and like, and that's, and like part of the challenge is like get a Skate Witch tattoo. And
And so is it mostly her doing it, or is it a group of people?
It's mostly Kristen is like a force of nature. For anybody who doesn't know who Kristen Ebeling is, she's amazing. She's like an idea machine, and like everything fun in like women's and non-binary skate has basically come from Kristen.
Uh-huh.
And we all get to like kind of ride her coattails. Like she's brilliant.
And does she help with Skate Like a Girl as well?
She's the executive director.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for the last 10 years. She created the Wheels of Fortune contest. She created like all the programs. Like she's done everything. She's made, like helped raise all the money. She's like hired people on, like gotten health insurance for employees, like, and skated and filmed a part last year. So she was also on that list.
Ooh.
Yeah, she had a ripping year last year.
Fuck yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I like to throw out that I'm trying to be the most feminist skateboard podcast out, but when I started listening to your guys, I was like, and then Drehobel called me yesterday. He's like, dude, you can't say that. And I was like, why? I'm trying. I want to be. Like, that's a goal. Anyway, I would love to have her on. And any girls, I always hit up Amy and Vanessa, but I gotta just go to SoCal and spend a week and try to line up some, because I only will do them in person. I don't want to do like over the phone.
Yeah.
I was talking to Ted about it though. I like your guys' technology thing. I might doubt, but I really feel like it's nice to be in the room and just kind of like get to, you know, hang out too.
Yeah, it is. It was really nice to get to do this with you. I had a great time and I'm honored. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
And your friends got to skate Double Rock.
Yeah, they're skating Double Rock right now.
A lot longer than they wanted.
They're like broke off too. So like we're all old ladies now and we've been skating all day. So
we'll give some shout outs, Crux, anybody. Yeah. And then whatever song are we going to play out?
I just want to say thanks to my girlfriend and my kids and to Jeff Kendall and Ron Whaley and Andrew Cannon and Kristen and everybody else. I love you guys so much. Thank you all for your help. And let's send it off with Get Off the Internet by Le Tigre.
Yes. Thanks so much. It's been awesome. This is one of the most special ones. I really had a good time today.
Thanks, Manny.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I'm glad our schedules allowed it.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa. This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.